Let me begin by saying that I bring the love of Mary. She reminded me last night to give you her love and her best regards. And if it were not because of Maria's situation, she would be here with me today. Her heart is here, and I think all of you would know that as well. I also bring you loving greetings from the elders at Forest Park. They love and appreciate your elders very much, and the church here at Palm Beach Lakes, Dan Jenkins, and the others. We also want to give our love to you from the brethren in the Pacific Islands. And I would not stop without saying that. It will not hurt my feelings, fellas, if you can kill the floodlight. They're hot. Makes me feel like I'm in a sauna bath or something. Thank you. I love that. Let me begin by saying that the Lord has really blessed Mary and I and the work that we have done with many others. First of all, everything that I will say in this presentation, I would give the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. I would also give that equally to all of those who are our co-workers and supporters in the work we do for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we usually think about we planted, we water, and God gives the increase. I would like to go all the way back to verse 5 where it says that we are ministers, or more literally, we are servants by which others believe. And Marianne and I, we know that we're simply servants by which others believe. The challenge before us, and as I report every 2 years, I like to remind you that we are not just in one congregation, one country, one city, one town, one village, but rather we have, because of the providence of God and opportunities, and I hope with a lot of planning and looking at the future, we're working in 22 countries, 30,000 islands, and over 6 million people. I'm going to, in the beginning, show you a few scenes that will simply show you the area of the world where we work. It is a very beautiful area, and one that, even after 36 years, still captivates and gets my attention. It is a lot different than living and working anywhere, even in South Florida, that reminds me so much of the Pacific. But it is a lot different. We're making great progress in the islands. We have come from the very early 70s all the way up past the 2000 mark. But still things in a lot of areas are still very primitive in that part of the Pacific. Again, living and working among the Pacific Islanders. All you have to do is show these clips, and then you know that it is you're in a different part of the world. Everybody is involved in daily activities of the families. Then there are interesting things that may invade the church building. They may invade where you are sleeping or eating. But believe me, there is an invasion of creatures or things that are very interesting. I say things, and they are things that are invasive of our lives in the Pacific. But no matter what the islanders face, even in American Samoa and Western Samoa, we that are older like me and Dan, we can still say Western Samoa, although it is Samoa. Why they change their names, I don't know. But wherever you go and whatever things they face, it is still the smiling faces. And I believe that these smiling faces is what makes it so beautiful and enjoyable to work among the people in the Pacific Islands. Many years ago, when we moved in the beginning to Fiji, we were introduced very quickly to other religions. Today, these have spread from Fiji and from African countries throughout the Pacific Islands. So we do not have, just as you would say, quote, Christian religions, and I use that term very loosely, but also many pagan religions as well. It has been our joy and our privilege for over 36 years, about a year before we went to the Pacific, to work under the oversight of our elders at Forest Park, our sponsoring congregation. What a joy and a privilege it is to work among them. Every 2 years, we have a one-week elders mission team retreat. Believe me, it is not a retreat. And I do not enjoy sitting and getting broader across the back. But, nevertheless, it is a time of learning, a time of reflecting, and a time of planning for the future. 36 years ago, between really New Zealand and Australia down under, all the way to Japan, all the way from Honolulu to Papua New Guinea, basically speaking, it was the Martin family. But because Mary Martin married a dreamer from Northwest Alabama, that changed. And as the work grew spiritually and grew numerically, and Dan and Judy, you'll remember this Land Cruiser very well. But as the work began to grow, because we began to carry the gospel to many other countries, with the help of many co-workers that really blessed our work very much. That has always been true from the beginning of our work. There was a need for us to increase the workers. Think about 22 countries, none of those landlocked, 30,000 inhabited islands, and over 6 million people. Our team overseen by Forest Park has increased from 1 to 4. And these are people that we have recruited, and God has blessed us with the privilege of training them. But now there are others. We did not stop. As the work began to spread, to grow spiritually, to grow numerically, we carried the gospel into other countries. We saw a need, and that need was to increase the manpower. We now have 9 families overseen by or sponsored by 5 different congregations. We're all on the same page doctrinally. We're all on the same page about mission work and the indigenous principle as best we can keep it that way. And these are teams that we have recruited them and we have trained them. And we have great confidence in the great work they can do for the Lord in the Pacific Island. Now, what do we need to get the job done? Well, you've already saw some of that. Number one, we need manpower. Can't do the work without manpower, whether it be at Palm Beach Lakes, where it be in the Pacific Island. Number two, we need willpower. You can have the manpower, but if you don't have the willpower, you're really not going to get the job done. And then number three, we need the money power. And certainly we need the blessing of the money. You can't get the job done. It takes all three of these key things to get the job done. To reach out to those 22 countries, 30,000 islands, and over 6 million people. Now, after 36 years, we have started using many areas of getting the gospel, edifying and equipping the saints, especially getting the gospel to the Pacific. You know what's still the most important and the most powerful thing? The printed page. It is the most powerful way of getting the gospel and edifying and strengthening the Christians. Why is it the most powerful? Number one, it can go where there is no electricity and there are no roads. Now, that cannot be true with TV programs we use and the radio programs, and even things on DVDs or video as well. Number two, it can travel freely and it can travel easily because it knows no countries and no boundaries. Number three, it requires no passport, no visa, and no work permit. Number four, it can be kept, read, it can anytime, and then passed on. Think about the effectiveness of the printed page. Number five, it can prepare the way in every way for planting the Lord's church in the Pacific. Number six, listen to this. It is the most economical way to do it. Even with digital cameras, digital layout, digital printers, it is still the most economical way to get the job done. Now, you give us maybe 4 days, you give us 8 or 10 workers, And we're going to pass out about 20, 25,000 tracts in that period of time with that amount of workers. Think about that, brethren. Putting the gospel into many people's hands in the right situation. Now, the Bible Correspondent Course work, it has never changed in all these years. I have to give credit to Dan influencing me in this area. Brethren, it doesn't matter. Over 36 years, we've always had between 2,000 and 3,000 people taking Bible Correspondent courses. You know, the only thing that stops us? Manpower, willpower, and money power. That's the only thing that stops us from really doing more in this area. Now, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plentiful." But brethren, here's the problem. The problem is, think about it, 22 countries, 30,000 islands, 6 million people. And even with 9 families and many co-workers, we still do not have enough manpower. Brethren, in Matthew 9:39, Jesus said, "Pray to the Lord of harvest that he will literally thrust more workers into the field." Brethren, we need to do a lot more praying about this. We cannot do it without manpower and willpower. Brethren, in the last 2 years, the Lord has opened doors of opportunity, like Paul has said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. "I'm always looking. I'm always dreaming all the time. Sometimes in the middle of the night it wakes me up, and Mary don't love it when I wake her up about 2 or 3 in the morning. And say, I've been dreaming about this. What do you think about it?" But we have really been dreaming. And when I go to our elders with that idea, and when I go to them and say, "Give me another mountain to climb," they always, well, not always, but more recently they said, "Robert, don't you know you're getting older?" I said, "I didn't realize that. What is it about?" But nevertheless, I'm thankful that they always are encouraged to climb those mountains with us. Let me tell you what mountains we've been climbing. We have been carrying the gospel into the country of Nauru, set up on the equator. Weather don't change. 365 days out of the year, the only thing changes, it either rains or it don't rain, brethren. And that's it. We have carried the gospel into Nauru, a small nation in the Pacific. And now there are 4 ladies that have been baptized. Brethren, you know, they're meeting faithfully on the first day of the week. Having singing prayer, the Lord's Supper, they have Bible study and they're giving as well. They know what to do immediately if a man walks into their midst. If he's a member of the church, they're going to say, "You're going to do everything in our worship today." They know what to do. Isn't it wonderful, brethren, that there are people that will carry on and can carry on even in this situation? Don't think we're not praying. We need you to pray that God will send us a man that will, the first man that will take the leadership openly in this congregation. Secondly, we have taken the gospel into the country of Tuvalu. And I won't go into a background on this, but say that we have really gotten geared up carrying the gospel into this small nation, lying just south off the equator. Again, there are no seasons, basically. It either rains or it don't rain. That's it. I mean, it's going to stay hot, humid, year-round. That means that I'm going to do a lot of sweating, and I don't mind that at all. Now, let me say that when you fly into Tuvalu, it is a different experience. You look on the right, you look on the left, and you say, and even to the front, you say, "Where are we going to land?" Dan McLeod can tell you that. Where's the land we're going to hit? Well, there is a land. These are low-lying atolls, no more than 2 to 4 feet above sea level. You know, these people that are really on the case for money for global warming, I think of a lot better way to spend money than that, really, to tell you the truth, and I want to be concerned about our environment. But I'm going to tell you, God created these islands, and God created them the right way and the good way, and they're going to be there, brethren. Now, whether some of them and all of them will be there, I don't know. But this is truly a different country. Brethren, we're going to go in, and this is true anywhere. We're going to place ads in the newspaper. We're going to enroll Bible Correspondence Course students. We're going to set up Bible studies. We're going to give out tract packets. But in this country, the newspaper had went defunct. I mean, it went out of business. I said, what am I going to do? Back up and think. Well, I went to the radio station, and the lady ended up, after I was trying to teach her the gospel, she ended up just giving us free time to place the ad on the radio and just gave it to us freely. And we wouldn't let her do that the second time. But setting up Bible studies during the day. One of the things that we always do is to try to get together with those group Bible studies. And here's the reason. Islanders are very clannish. They're very tribal. And they do not like to be put out front and singled out. Well, we know what to do with that. Try to set up nightly Bible studies. And so this is what we do at night. During the day, we're going to study one-on-one with any that we can. And then at night, we're going to have nightly Bible studies teaching the lost. Brethren, God blesses the power of His Word. It's still powerful, brethren. And because it's powerful, doesn't matter whether it's Dan McLeod teaching or anyone else, people are going to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a joy it was on this trip to baptize a man that indirectly I've studied with for many years, a Bible Correspondence Course student, Alisi. He obeyed the gospel and put on the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. Now there are 7 faithful members, and in this congregation, 4 of them are men. Thank the Lord for that. And there are men that are able and capable. We pray that we're doing more to helping them. And then we are carrying the gospel into Koshari. You know, God always puts things together. God is working, not in a miraculous way, but behind the scenes, God can be working. A number of years ago, we carried with us a young man to Fiji on a campaign. I mean, he came back. He decided, I'm quitting my job. Had a great job. Going to quit my job, going to a preaching school. And then he said, I'm going to search for a wife like Mary Martin. And so he began. Every time he'd date a young lady, he'd say, do you want to be the wife of a missionary? If they said no, okay, mark that one off. And go on. I mean, he was serious, brethren. That's exactly what he did. No matter how much he liked that person, no matter how much that person liked him, he knew he was focused. Well, just before he graduated from the East Tennessee School of Preaching, had a congregation in the metro Atlanta area. And they said, Robert and Mary, help us find a location in the Pacific where we can work. We knew that location. The church at one time had been planted there, and then it totally died. It had totally died. So we knew what we must do. Brethren, if we don't teach the gospel, if we don't edify and equip, I'm telling you, they're not going to be elders and preachers and Bible school teachers and soul winners, and the church is going to die, brethren. Now, I'm not talking about Freed Hardeman, who I love doing the job, and other universities. I'm talking about you doing the job right here in this congregation and every congregation. And so through Scott and Rebecca Shanahan, we begin to carry the gospel into Koshari. Now, occasionally, Scott will email me and he'll say, Robert, I've hit a snag. What's going on? And so I always come back to him. Sometimes pick up the telephone. And occasionally when I'm where I cannot, Mary does it. And I'm thinking, isn't that wonderful that a wife can do something like that spent so many years in the Pacific Islands work? And recently, Scott said, Robert, I'm a little bit discouraged with carrying the gospel to Koshari. Now, he'd never show that in his newsletter. And you're not going to speak like that, but he said, I'm a little bit discouraged. And I said, what's the problem, son? And he said, well, we've made 4 trips, and no one's indicated they wanted to obey the gospel. I said, well, we went into the village of Nala in Fiji that now has elders and deacons and about 5 men that preach. And son, for the first 9 months, only one man obeyed the gospel. But then it began to grow, and now growing congregation. Not only that, I said, Scott, we went in for about 1 year and 3 months into Majuro, the Marshall Islands, the main island, carrying the gospel, doing our work the way we should, and not one soul obeyed. Then one old man obeyed that was in his 80s, and then five obeyed, and then three obeyed, and then six or seven obeyed. I said, just be patient, and if you're doing the right thing, keep on doing what you're doing. Now, we have started the final push in carrying the gospel into the last five countries in the Pacific. The last five. Now remember the progress we've made the last 2 years. We've already started on that. I made that statement of the final push the first place I reported. Got in a meeting with the elders. Got in a meeting with the elders of that congregation. They said, sounds like you about pushed out. I said, no, I'm not. I didn't say I'm making the final push. I said, we're making the final push to carry the gospel into these last five countries. Well, we've started. You know, I could continue to hear in Acts 16 and 19 what Paul heard from the Macedonian man, come over and help us. And we began. We had a plan. We had the plan laid out. We knew how we wanted to do it. We began to put together this plan. The major thing was to look for the manpower and the willpower. I'm one of those that believe that God will provide the rest. We then began to carry the gospel into New Caledonia. Woo! Problem number one, language. I can't even speak English. Now, well, you can laugh. That's okay. You know, it's true. Okay. But anyway, here's French. And I said to Mary, how am I going to do it? I don't know how I'm going to do it. But we begin to work on carrying the gospel to New Caledonia. Can you imagine not even knowing French? I emailed Sister Betty Choate because J.C. had told me before he passed away from this world to a far better world. J.C. said to me, Robert, we've got four books in the French language. Boy, the very books we needed. And so I emailed Betty. I didn't know what Betty was going to do. Betty Choate then turned around and emailed a brother in Nashville, Tennessee. He emailed me, and boy, did it start coming together. Oh, boy, it started coming together. And I didn't even know how it was going to come together because I only knew that we were going to carry the gospel into this French country of New Caledonia. Now, the young man up on the top right-hand side in the screen working on his master's at Freed Hardeman, Josh Cook. He and his wife have taken French, high school and college. They speak it some and do very well with it. They have made trips to France and Belgium. And so I got Josh to go with me on the first trip. Well, not knowing the language, but I could see Josh is struggling. But about the second day, I began to see him move out of his shell a little bit more. I said, thank you, Lord, you know, because he got more comfortable with the language. Now, I got to go back to the way this email went from me to Betty Choate. I didn't know Betty was going to send it to Barry Baggett that worked for 17 years, three in France and the other in the Ivory Coast, a French country. A faithful man, faithful to the word, faithful to the church, a missionary in French countries that is very talented. Speaks it, writes it, teaches it in a university. What a man to find. I didn't find him. God did. I emailed Betty Choate. Betty emailed Barry. We got together, and Barry said, I'm ready to go. I know this is a great opportunity. We have not gone all these 36 years that you and Mary have worked in the Pacific, and I'm ready to go. So we made that first trip together. When we came off of that trip, I already had a plan. Plan was, if I see the right thing, because I like to see them, I don't want to see them in their environment here. It doesn't tell me anything. But I want to see them in the environment in the Pacific. Because they may be faithful to the church, the word. They may be faithful to the Lord, but I want to see how they'll work among the Pacific Islanders. This man just did super fantastic. I'll tell you. So I decided. And I said to Barry, 2 days before we left, after 9 days there, Barry really spent about 14, went in a few days before I did. And Barry, I said to Barry, Barry, I want you to take this work. If you'll promise me in God that you won't let up until the church is planted, and is growing. Here and in one more place. He said, you've added one to me now. I said, yes, one more. And so he said, I'll accept it. But the one thing, the money, I said, forget the money, the Lord provide. Brethren, I came back to the States. I could have done it the first day, but I didn't want to. I wanted to give it time. And then into the third week, I was back in the States. I'd only been back four. I called a good friend of mine, and he said, I'll pay for the trip totally to be made into New Caledonia, Wallace and Futuna. Now, I've slipped up and used the word. Our next target is, after we've been going in, rolling people on Bible correspondent courses, and also studying with people, no one has yet obeyed. We've only made two trips in. Our next target is to carry the gospel to Wallace and Futuna, another French country, to the north and to the east, back toward Samoa. We not only are looking at that, but Barry and I both agree that we need a missionary, French-speaking, working family that will go and live in Noumea, New Caledonia, and their job will be to work New Caledonia, the entire country, all the islands, and to work Wallace and Futuna as well. And then we begin working on carrying the gospel into New. We had done it many years ago, but again, we had taught and baptized people. The church was planted, but got a problem in some countries in the Pacific. They hold New Zealand passports. That's not bad, really, but it is one way. What happened, all of the people we taught and baptized eventually moved to New Zealand because they hold more opportunities, better salaries, just more and better opportunities. And so they did. So we've got to start all over again. Well, this time, we're going to try to do it differently. But we begin to carry the gospel in. Enroll Bible correspondent course students. And, let me back up if I may, begin to enroll people in Bible correspondent course. Then I begin to think, who are we going to get to go into Niue? One night about 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, Mary, wake up. I already figured it out. But I've been praying about this a long time. You know, sometimes we have a saying in the islands. It's not what you know, but it's who you know. And you know, isn't that true all over the world? And I said, Mary, we've got a Northwest Alabama girl that's married to a New Zealander, a Kiwi. And you know what? We're going to use her. Her father is one of the elders in one of our oldest supporting congregations. We're going to use her because they have helped us in Vanuatu. We're going to now use them in Niue. And so we begin to talk to Anthony and Jeanette. Jeanette is from a little congregation in Marion County called Barn Creek, Dan. And Jeanette is married to Anthony Rain, and they have committed, taken it on. They're not going to stop until the church is planted. We have a building there, and the church is growing. Brethren, you can't get to Niue like you used to from Samoa or from Fiji. The only way to go is through New Zealand. Then we begin to think about the islands of Tokelau. Well, that presents a different challenge. The only way to get to Tokelau is from Samoa or New Zealand. And I begin to think and pray, and this happened to be a daytime thing. I came up with the idea. I said, Mary, she was thankful for the daytime. And I said, Mary, I said, we're going to use local brethren to do this. Brethren that are 30 years plus in the faith. She said, well, you're not going to take the lead? I said, no, because when you go to this country, this territory of New Zealand, when you go, you don't come out for months. And so what we're going to do is find the money means, the money power, and we are going to use our Samoan brethren that are elders and deacons and preachers. And we're going to send them in husband and wife teams, one after the other. Well, the Tokelauan language is a sister language to the Samoan language. We've already got one up. And so we begin to put together, the brethren are ready, and we're ready to launch this plan into Tokelau. And then Easter Island. Elders, here's where I'm going to need your help. I've already started the ball rolling by talking to our elders here at Palm Beach Lakes through the Black Mirrors and the Spratlys. Brethren, there is no way to get to Easter Island without it costing an arm and a leg, except from South America. That's the only way to do it realistically with the money, and also Spanish being the major part of the language, just like in New Caledonia. Well, when you told me that you're going to be overseeing the Spratlys or sponsoring the Spratlys and the Black Mirrors, I began to talk to Mary and say, here's the opportunity. But I did happen to say to those two, the two couples, I will give up the ghost and make the first trip with you, brethren, from Paraguay over to Chile and to Easter Island. Brethren, we have the opportunity to carry the gospel, and the only thing that will stop it will be you and I. We're the only one. Brethren, through these two families, on a rotating basis after they have gotten settled and into their work in Paraguay and some time has passed, and let's pray that they grow and develop so much time will not pass. We'll get the job done. And we'll get the job done in planting the church, a building erected, and great opportunities to spread the gospel in Easter Island. Now, brethren, you here at Palm Beach have invested in souls for about 28 years. I went back and counted it when Dan was speaking in the Pacific. Brethren, in the work that Mary and I either spearheaded or directly involved, hands-on, one way or the other, and not through the Shanahans or any of the others, 145 have responded to the gospel in the last 2 years. Brethren, think about it, though. 22 countries, 30,000 islands, and 6 million people. We've not even touched the hem of the garment. This does not even include all that the local brethren are doing as well. And because the church is growing, and I love this, Dan, we've held to this true to the heart. And I speak to Dan often because he instilled many mission principles within my heart many years ago. These brethren have built their own buildings. The church is growing spiritually, numerically, and new buildings are going up throughout the Pacific Islands. Mary is always involved, whether it's helping to recruit or to train or to hold up the hands of the native brethren, the brothers and sisters, their wives, or whether it be the missionaries and their wives. She is always there to do all that she can do. Now the work of edifying and strengthening. And this is important that we may carry the gospel, do the work of edifying and strengthening, equipping, going on. We have been able to do this. We do it through workshops that are usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday workshops. Some occasionally will go for 1 week or 2 weeks. We will also do it primarily through Pacific Islands Bible College. Brethren, in 13 years since we started this indigenous college, it has really grown. Brethren, God has brought it a long way since we planted it 13 years ago. Number one, we started with 52 students. Brethren, if we had built a facility and established that facility only in one country, we would have been limited to no more than 15, 20 students. We have over 1,000 students, over 1,600 students that are taking the courses. We are not only in one country, but we're in 10 countries. We're not only in one or two locations, we're in 21 locations, and it's growing every year. We started with two instructors, and we now have 20. We had zero graduates, and now 44, and we have more coming up this year and a lot more coming up next year. Brethren, what are we doing? We're instilling the Word of God in their hearts or in their minds. We're edifying them. We're strengthening them. We're training them. Brethren, I tell you, sometime I think these brethren are going to jump up and say hallelujah when they get their diploma, because it's many hours of effort and work. And they know that they now have a greater knowledge, a greater ability, and they want to do more for the Lord and His work. And coming out of these and others that are even taking the courses, Bible school teachers, preachers, elders now, deacons in the Lord's church, soul winners, and those that are just strong in the faith of their Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, it's a fulfillment of 2 Timothy 2:2. What they learn, they're passing it on to others. Brethren, if the gospel stops with us in this building, are you listening? The church is doomed to go down and possibly die at Palm Beach Lakes. It could happen if it stops with you. This church will either go down or it will either die in this location. Now, I didn't say universally, but in this location. Brethren, the key is teaching, important, equipping, that it may be passed on. Now, what we need to do, and some of this is easy. You know, Judy, do you ever still love giving advice to your children? Sorry about that, Gary. Do you love giving it to your grandchildren? Just the other day, we got a phone call from one of our granddaughters that's going to be getting married as a freshman in the university. Can't believe that. I'm not for it either. But, nevertheless, she was talking to the grandmother. And I said, why didn't you give her a lot more advice? She said, well, we taught the mother and probably the father a lot. And then we have not only taught them, but we have trained them. And she said, what have you always said? Even going back to when they were in high school, and Tanya started dating in American Samoa, and Mark started dating in American Samoa. And what did you say? We've taught them, and we've trained them. And you always said to me that we've got to, and I didn't love it, but I've learned it, we've got to trust them. You know what, brethren? And Dan, this is one of our big problems in mission work, the reason we've not carried the gospel to every country on the face of the earth, and every island, and in every location, every city, and every town, and every village, because we've not taught them and trained them. I didn't say, now let me go all the way through this. We've not taught them. We have not trained them, and we've not trusted them, and we have not turned them loose. We've got to be that missionary that's over everybody. That compound installation concept. Brethren, we've got to teach them, we've got to train them, and we've got to trust them, and we've got to turn them loose. Brethren, I can only give you a quick glimpse on these next few clips. These are just touching the hem of the garment. And some that I will not show this time, I've shown in the years gone by. These are congregations that govern themselves. They are congregations that support themselves. They are congregations that are reproducing themselves and establishing other congregations. These are indigenous congregations. Some of them with elders and deacons, every one of them with preachers, many that preach, all of them with Bible school teachers and soul winners. Brethren, here's what you've accomplished with the Martins. Over these 27, 8 years, here's what you've accomplished. Number one, we have taken the gospel to 18 countries. Number two, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that have been baptized. And brethren, we've established the congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the church of our Lord, in 17 countries of the Pacific. 36 years, 32 congregations you have directly involved yourself in planting, and many more that the brethren have planted. And over 1,600 students taking college courses in Pacific Islands Bible College that are studying the Word of God, the people that we're teaching and training and trusting and turning loose, that the gospel may be carried to every island in the Pacific. Wow, Philippians 4:17. I tell you this morning, fruit abounds to your account. Not to me and Mary's account. We're simply servants by which others believe. But fruit abounds throughout all the Pacific Islands. Fruit abounds. Brethren, you think that's an exaggeration? Get on the phone to one of my elders, who every 2 years goes sees the work Mary and I do, the Treats do, the Englishes do, and the Fergusons do. And the other congregations that sponsor the other men. Brethren, let me just say that the people in the Pacific are searching for the truth. They're searching for the truth. But you know what makes me feel so sad? And every time I go by a graveyard, I go quiet usually. Because I look at freshly dug graves. And I think about how many today, how many even right now, while I've gone by this graveyard, have passed into eternity. And some of them never one time. In some of these countries where we're just beginning to carry the gospel, had an opportunity to hear the gospel one time. If we can go ahead and begin to have the lights on, I'll make what few closing remarks I have. Without you here at Palm Beach Lakes, the Martins, and I'm going to go ahead and include, and the Treats, and the Shanahans, would not be able to do the work we do for the Lord. But because you hold up our hands, we're able to reach out, and we're able to get the job done for the Lord. We'd like for it to be faster. We need more manpower. We need more willpower, and pray for our willpower. And we need more money to get the job done. I must not forget that if you do not get our newsletter, we want it to come into your home, where in the convenience of your recliners, maybe this will help you go to sleep. Just start reading that Pacific Islands newsletter. And we hope and pray that because you read it, you keep up with the work, and you're able to see it. We don't want you to glare at a computer screen. We don't want you to read it on the bulletin board. We want you to read it in the convenience and comfort of your own home. If you don't get it, please give to me or to one of the elders your name and address with a request to take the newsletter. We'll put you on the mailing list.